Very recently, my wife was studying a book on St. Peter himself by Dr. Tim Gray. And she must have had an inkling that St. Peter's was where I might be assigned. And so both of us are thrilled and grateful to be serving God in this parish. Now, I know that weekday Mass attendees are sometimes from different parishes, but in effect, you're weekday St. Peter's parishioners. I know, because that's how I felt when I would go to Mass at downtown at St. Francis Church near City Hall, where I used to work. I felt like a weekday parishioner there. Weekday Mass attendees, I think, are those who are seeking closeness with the one who makes us righteous, a word from today's gospel. You're not here for the preaching. Hopefully it's okay, but it's not primarily what you're here for. Or even the music, as good as that is, and as beautiful it is as it is to have music at weekday Mass. But you're here for Jesus himself. You need this. But so does the whole church need your faithfulness to the Eucharist. And so it is especially good that you are here today. There are three words for me that jump out of the gospel reading in particular. The first is, well, it's a phrase, the kingdom of heaven. So we could say kingdom or heaven or the kingdom of heaven. I'll take that as one word. The second one might be a little bit surprising. It's the word like, of course, which is used in many of the parables. And the third one is righteous. Now, many others in your own reflection might come up with some different words. But those are the three that I would like to look at. Years ago, the first time that my wife and I attended the Passion Play in Drumheller, I was taken aback because, well, obviously a director has to, you know, develop the play and add things in that might not be in the gospel to kind of make it flow and to give sort of interpretation to it. But I remember in particular there was a scene where Jesus and some of his disciples and Martha and Mary and a few others are sitting on the front porch of a house, and it's after they've had a nice meal, and they're kind of just relaxing in the evening sun, something like we might be able to do these days if it's not hailing. But they're just sitting around, just chatting, and one of the disciples turns to the Lord and says, "Lord, tell us about the kingdom of heaven." And this changes my entire perception, you know, because I imagine maybe we have this imagination that Jesus, maybe the night before giving a speech, is thinking, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a stick. No, that's not right. The kingdom of heaven is like a house, and maybe crossing that out. No, it's more organic than that. And this is what this made me think of, because they turned to him and said, "Lord, tell us about the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus, in this play, looks around, and he's looking around. "How shall I describe the kingdom of heaven?" And there's a bush right beside the deck there, the porch there, and he goes like this. And he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." And then, of course, he goes on to describe the kingdom of heaven in mustard seed terms. So this is organic in his relationship with people that he's giving insight into the kingdom of heaven. The thing is that everyone in those times wanted to know about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew makes reference to it more than 30 times. Today, I think we know that this is missing. We've developed so many ways to experience our own self-made version of heaven that we no longer even desire it in our culture. Or rather, that we no longer recognize that we have a deep longing for the kingdom of heaven. Now, I remember, probably no one here may be old enough, or maybe some of you are and don't want to admit it, or old enough to remember studying the Baltimore Catechism, where our purpose was described as to know, love, and serve God in this life, and to be happy with him in the next. Very beautiful, great for children. We could understand that. The Catechism, I think, has an equally beautiful, but maybe a different approach. In the very first paragraph, God, who's infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, has no need of anyone, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created us so that we might share in his own blessed life. That's our purpose, for God to share his blessed life with us, not because of a need of his, but because of his plan of sheer goodness. And that plan is heaven itself. So we move on to the second word. I mean, we could spend much more time, of course, talking about heaven and the kingdom of heaven itself, but maybe these other words will help us kind of go a little bit deeper. Second word is like. In the parables, Jesus, in a way, throws out ideas to people so that they can catch the one that helps them understand it, to shed light on it. Jesus, in a way, turns that the jewel, that beautiful jewel that is the kingdom of heaven, around. And he looks at it, and he helps us look at it, and he helps those around him look at it from different angles, allowing different rays of light to shine on it and through it. And so if you look at the jewel, which is the kingdom, from this angle, it's like this. And if you look at it from this angle, it's like this. I had a professor, a theology professor, who was explaining the Blessed Trinity this way, using this same technique. And there were moments when he would describe the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, in a way, and I'd think, I think I've got it. And then, of course, like St. Augustine, I'd realize that if I think I understand the Blessed Trinity, I know I'm wrong. But in a way, it would add one little aspect of it that we could understand. And so this is what Jesus is doing. And then, of course, he says to them, have you understood all this? And they answer, yes, but probably not. We might look elsewhere in Scripture for this image, the use of the word like, which is not really what it is, but it's a way of looking at it, one way of many of looking at it. For example, John, he's given in the book of Revelation this insight, this vision into heaven itself. And when you look through the book of Revelation and you see, as he's describing what he sees, many times he uses the word, I saw something that looked like something else. Because he's seeing something that he's never seen before. He's seeing a vision of glory which has no comparison on earth, but you have to try anyway to understand it. So it's like this jewel, or that jewel, or this animal. So we see this in Scripture. So the kingdom of heaven is not really a net or fish. That's what the words would be like without the like. For example, fish. Well, the kingdom of heaven is like fish. You know, that works a little bit, but, you know, as most cultures say, you know, if you're visiting somebody, after 3 days, the fish start to stink. So it's not totally like fish, is it? This image, the kingdom of heaven is like fish. We'll come back to that, what the comparison actually is. The third word is righteous. Ultimately, his image and the parable and the comparison or the metaphor that he's using results in this idea that these fish, some are righteous and some are not. And what happens to those that are not, they're thrown out, and those that are righteous go to heaven. So, but we might ask, of course, well, what does Jesus mean by righteous? How do I get to be the good fish and not thrown into the, out with the bad fish? Throughout the Old Testament, we see the use of the word, and this is, of course, the Hebrew Scriptures, which are Jesus' own Scriptures, the use of the description of God as holy or righteous. So holy and righteous, in many ways, in Old Testament Scripture, mean essentially the same thing. So to be righteous means to be holy, which is an essential quality of God himself. All religious activity at the time was directed at being holy, being like God. For example, and in the New Testament, that when Jesus says you must be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, he's not saying that you have to get 100% on the test. He's saying that you must strive after the essential quality of the one who made you in his own image and likeness. To be righteous then means to be like God, which Jesus says we must try to be. And everyone in those days was doing it. The Pharisees were trying to be righteous in their way. The scribes were trying to be righteous in their way through temple worship. The zealots were trying to be righteous in their own way. And every Jew. And it's still the invitation for us. The kingdom of heaven, we believe, is fulfilled in the one who tells the parables about the kingdom of heaven, in Jesus himself. There was a time in my life where I doubted this, where I didn't know that this was essentially true. I remember sitting out in a congregation at a weekday mass, and the priest held up the host and he said, "This is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And into my head popped the word, "That's absurd." So I knew then that that's kind of where my doubt was. Since then, it's been a matter of faith, isn't it? It's a matter of faith where we say, "No, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. You are trustworthy." But heaven is real, and we experience it today in the Eucharist. We aren't experiencing something like anything else. We are seeing and experiencing the manifestation of the kingdom itself. We are receiving that kingdom, body, blood, soul, and divinity into our own being. This is the experience that transforms us. So we might ask, well, what's the process? How do we become like that? Well, in the first reading, we read that the word of God came to Jeremiah, and it said, God is like a potter who molds clay into whatever he wants it to be, and he reforms it when it gets out of shape. We may be like fish, but what we really are is clay in the potter's hand. We are made good. We lost something of that goodness and became wounded. But the God of righteousness wants to refashion us into a reflection of himself. And the question is, will we let him? Or will we be afraid that we will somehow lose ourselves? And I was, of course, going to explain that 70s hymn, Abba Father, and so it was perfect that we heard it already. I don't even need to go through the words. You are the potter. We are the clay, the work of your hands. Mold us and fashion us into the image of Jesus, your Son, who is heaven itself. Jesus is the one who is casting his net. He uses the apostles initially as part of this role, but this task becomes one for all of us. Jesus identifies himself with the Father. So if we unite ourselves with Jesus, we become one with the Father. We become righteous. We become molded like clay into an image of the Father. How do we do that? Well, it starts with the Eucharist. Jesus really present. Jesus really the kingdom itself, not simply like the kingdom. And where does it begin? It begins with the desire to be one with Jesus Christ, who offers himself to the Father in the Spirit, for the life of the world. Amen.